Awesome. Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going live to talk about Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. So I'm really excited to be doing a live stream, and what's really cool about this live stream is that I can actually also feature some of the comments that you guys are leaving as we go, and I can still put my screen up and stuff like that. So it's just some cool features of a new software program that I'm using. But anyway, before I continue, if you are live right now and you can see me, throw me a comment in the chat box so that I can see that you're tuning in. Tell me where you're coming from. I'd love to hear where everybody's tuning in from in the world, what city or state you're coming from. It's always fun to hear, get that roll call going. So, Minneapolis. Hey, Edward, good to see you. It's great to... Okay, now they're really streaming in. Okay, Portland, New York City. Awesome. Jacksonville, Florida, New Jersey, Denver, DC, France. Nice. Oklahoma, New York City, Minneapolis. Nice. Honolulu, but from Minneapolis. Nice. Very cool. Vancouver, Derbyshire in the UK. I hope I said that right. Ireland, Miami, Florida, the Netherlands, Los Osos, Colorado Springs, San Antonio. Very cool. Hilton Head. I love Hilton Head. That's great. I've been there before. So welcome, everybody. Welcome in. We are going today to be looking at Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. It's Jupiter-Neptune conjunction. Can you believe it? It's finally here. Arguably the biggest transit of the year. There's a few other competitors, but I think this is the biggest transit of the year because there's so much uplift behind this transit. There's such a feeling of redemption and positivity, renewal, faith. It's a sign that comes at the end of winter. And we've been through several years worth of heavy Saturnine energies. So it's really nice to have this around. Here is, we have March 27th through April 29th as the range in which you're really going to feel this transit, perfecting April 12th, which is tomorrow. We will also be doing a live stream tomorrow. And tomorrow I've got some I Ching for us to look at. I've got some history behind Jupiter and Neptune to look at. And we'll also do some more live birth chart readings tomorrow. So I'm going to go today. I'm going to be giving you a sense of what to expect based on Jupiter, Neptune through the 12 houses. And then that's based on your rising sign, or if you follow sun sign astrology, you can just, you know, I'll tell you which rising sign, and that would be just the same as a sun sign. So maybe I'll even take a minute to explain the difference, because every single time I do a horoscope video, people ask me what's the difference between a sun and a rising sign horoscope. And really it's just which sign do you choose to listen to every month, your sun or your rising sign. The one that will always be configured to your actual birth chart will be a rising sign horoscope. But you can, you know, people listen to their sun sign horoscopes every month too. Anyway, before I get off into the astrology, I want to remind everybody, this is your last day to take advantage of my 50% off sale on all of my 2022 courses. So you can check that out on my website. New class starts June 5th, and you can check it out on my website, nightlightastrology.com. I think there was actually a typo in that. But here, let me just show you my screen. Let's see here. I am going to minimize this and let's bring up that. I'm doing this on the fly for the first time, like live streaming. So I'm still getting used to how some of this works when I'm live streaming. It's a little different than what I was doing previously. Okay, here it is. So you can, that looks like it's sort of like glitching out or something. Let's try that again. There we go. That should be a little bit better. All right. So once you go to my website, nightlightastrology.com, you are going to click on the courses page right here. And once you click on the courses page, you will be, you can go to the first year course, first on the drop-down menu, scroll down, and you can click on view enrollment details, go to the bottom. You'll see the early bird payment. This is 50% off the normal rate. Our usual early bird plan is early bird sale that we run is $12.99. So this is, you know, $400 cheaper than even that early bird sale that we run. This is the Kickstarter rate that I only do once a year. We had enough people who were like, you know, for whatever reason, they couldn't take advantage of it at the time, that they, you know, we're getting people asking us, could I still get that rate after the Kickstarter? We said, we're just going to do a 1-week sale at the beginning of April. So if you want to take advantage of that, you have until the end of today to do so. When you do that, by the way, you can click and add a second course for even $100 cheaper. So if you bundle them together, you save on the second course even a little bit more. So if you guys have questions, and that's good for my year two program. That would be like my year two and my horary program start June 11th and 12th. You could use that 50% off on any of those courses, or my readings and passages program, which starts in November, December at the end of the year, or even the year one program that starts in November. So any of my 2022 courses, you know, feel free to take advantage of that deal. If you have any questions about my courses, feel free to email us info@nightlightastrology.com, but you should be able to find everything that you would need to know about the courses on each of the course pages. All right. By the way, if you're new to the channel, always appreciate if you like and subscribe, share some comments, help the channel grow. If you subscribe, click the notification bell for updates on when I go live like this. You'll get a little update saying that I'm going live when you do so. And always, if you want a transcript, if you want to share a transcript or read the transcript of any of my daily talks, they can usually be found within 24 hours of any given talk on my website's blog. That's also at Nightlight Astrology. It's also at nightlightastrology.com. All right, so I'm really excited to get into talking about Jupiter and Neptune today. And what I want to do now is bring up the real-time clock and just give you guys a look at it. So let's do that next. Here is the real-time clock. And you can see Jupiter, Neptune coming together at 23 degrees. That conjunction is exact tomorrow. You can see, if you notice, they're just a touch off still by the minute, 47. Jupiter's at 23:47, Neptune at 23:57. So they actually get down to the degree and the minute tomorrow. I feel really excited because I got the inspiration as Jupiter was coming closer to Neptune to have a past life regression. I've had lots of past life regression-like experiences in ayahuasca ceremonies, but I never had visited with a reputable past life therapist and had a regression. I've always thought at some point I'm going to try it. I never have. So I thought, you know what? What better time to do it than when Jupiter is square Neptune? I'll go drink the Kool-Aid and put myself, you know, under the care of a really good therapist. I know. I actually know a past life regression therapist from New York City who is a friend of mine, and so I'll be doing a session with her on the day that Jupiter and Neptune are conjoining tomorrow, which I don't know. I'm really excited about it. It feels like a weird, fun thing to do. And no offense to anyone who does it regularly. For me, it's weird because I've just never done it. I've had lots of altered states, so I'm no stranger to, you know, going out there. But the other thing that came into my life was I decided to try hypnotherapy. I've been seeing a Jungian therapist for many, many years. I've worked in many different types and modalities of healing and therapy, yoga, breath work, you know, psychedelics, all sorts of stuff. Obviously my main practice is bhakti yoga, but just in working on some of my own inner stuff, I was like, I'm going to try Jupiter's conjoined with Neptune. How about a past life regression and some hypnotherapy? Okay. Sounds like fun. So that's what's coming up for me that I thought was really that's me getting grabbed by the transits. If you have a story to share, by the way, as you were listening to me talk about Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune, please remember that you're always welcome. Use the hashtag grabbed and then tell us the story about how the planets showed up and surprised you. The planets were called grahas in Indian astrology. It could be translated as grabbers. And so that's what the planets do sometimes. You can also email your story if you don't feel like sharing it at grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. Now, I don't respond to any of those emails. I literally just aggregate them and pick good stories that I think will be useful for occasional shows that I do where I share all of your stories. That's going to be, we're going to be doing that again soon. So today, our agenda, after looking at Jupiter Neptune's conjunction coming up here, is to look at it house by house. What can you anticipate from this transit based on what house it is located in your natal chart? And all you need to know for this to be effective is your rising sign. There's really a great website I like to use called AstroSeek. There's AstroDeans, there's Astro.com, and there's a million sites now where you can calculate your birth chart just by plugging in your information. It'll tell you what your rising sign is if you need to know. I'm just going to tell you, look, if this is your rising sign, And this is what house it falls. This is what house the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction falls in. And these are the types of topics that you could keep your eye on right now this week, but also from late March through the end of this entire month of April. So in order to do that, I am once again going to share my screen. And let's see here. By the way, I'm going to see if this works. See, I think I can put up comments from you guys in the chat box. Like, let's try this one. Molly says, I bought your book. See, that's awesome. I love that you can, I can just go ahead and share this. Look at Ra. Ra is here. What is this all metaphysical stuff? You're giving astrology a good name. Good to see you, Ra. It's been a while. Yeah. I think what we're going to do is, like I said, we're going to walk through sign by sign and see how, what to expect from Jupiter Neptune in every one of the rising signs based on the whole sign house it's falling in. So let me go ahead and share my screen again. Here we go. And let's go ahead and we're going to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go Aries through Pisces. I'm going to shift it a little bit and start with Pisces. I'm going to be a little contrary. So here we go. We're putting Pisces on the ascendant. So here's what you can expect if you are a Pisces rising, which means that Jupiter and Neptune are conjoining in your first house. You'll see there's the conjunction right there. And I'm going to put up some helpful little notes for you guys. Jupiter, Neptune in the first house. What can you expect? Well, this was the place that ancient astrologers associated with your mind and body, whether that's your psychological constitution, your character, your physical health, your appearance. But this was the only house that ancient astrologers mentioned as the house of the body, mind, spirit, and soul, like the whole package. It's not, sometimes in modern astrology, you hear it referred to as a kind of superficial persona or personality. Not so in ancient astrology. This is the existential house, the place where body-mind connection is found, constitution, your nature, your physical appearance, the whole thing. So with the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in the first, I have to wonder about a creative revisioning or reimagining of your self-concept, or of your body and your physical health and vitality? Are you changing your physical appearance? This place was also called the helm, as in the helm of the ship. And it was called the joy of Mercury. It's related to, you know, the native and the choice and agency they have to manage and negotiate the field of karma, the destiny, the fate that they're born into. So when you have a Jupiter Neptune in your first house, you could look at what kind of support is coming into you right now, psychically, emotionally, in dreams? What kind of resources are available to you right now for the sake of personal growth, for greater agency, for handling life with greater grace and ease? I think that the first house is probably the most existential placement for Pisces, those of you who have Pisces rising. And again, like you could do your sun's, if you're a Pisces, if you like Pisces sun sign horoscopes, then in your Pisces sun, we would be reading a Pisces horoscope is based on putting Pisces in the first house. So if you are born with a Pisces sun, there's, you know, some chance that you also have the Pisces sun in the first house, in which case the houses will be aligned with the way your birth chart looks. But otherwise, the only way you're going to get there is to choose your rising sign as the horoscope that you read each month. Then the rising sign will, you're reading for, you're putting the rising sign in the first house, and then it actually accords with your birth chart. So that's why I recommend it. All right. That little side note for those who've been, you know, asking about it. Let's go on to the second house. Jupiter in the second house is, and I'm going to just advance the wheel here. Oops. Jupiter Neptune in the second house would mean that you are an Aquarius rising. So we're going backward through the zodiac by doing this. But here's the conjunction in the second. If you are an Aquarius rising, you'll have this in the second place. This place has always been associated with resources, money, but more broadly speaking, the assets that you have, whether those are material possessions or psychological possessions, skills that you acquire, develop, or innately have. Also, what kinds of things that you grow and develop in time. It's related to things like business as well as your expenditure of time, money, energy. So, you know, this is a place that where things grow and develop, where you look at what I have and what is a resource for me on any level, physical, material, emotional, spiritual, I mean. So when you have a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction in the second, I wonder, it's a very fertile transit in a water sign, what kinds of resources are growing, or what kinds of dreams or visions do you have for the type of skills or resources you'd like to develop? What kind of, it would be not surprising to see people receiving some kind of windfall or some kind of resource that comes to you that's overwhelmingly positive, especially given that there's an exalted Venus in that house right now. But this place was also associated not only with income, but with expenditures and things that you might purchase or go out and try to acquire. I would be a little bit careful with Jupiter Neptune here of that, you know, going to the grocery store on an empty stomach or buying something that's really over the top somehow. So you want to be a little bit discerning with your time, money, energy, and resources, that you're not sort of leaking them or getting starry-eyed about something that may actually drain you more than it fills you up. But generally speaking, I like things growing in the house of resources for you right now if you're an Aquarius rising. Okay, so we will, we're going to keep it moving along here. And we're going to put Pisces in the third now, which means we're looking at Capricorn rising. So if you're a Capricorn rising, you will find that Jupiter and Neptune are conjoining in your third house. So there they are right there down in the third. And kind of, it's getting a little bit blurred by the comment, by the note box that I have up, but should be able to see it still. So this house was called Goddess and Joy of the Moon, and it was associated with writing, travel, the mind. But like the moon, it was also associated with the more physical, immediate environment around us. Things like your neighborhood, the people and the common things that you do. It's a little bit like water is to the fish. The third house is like the ecology, you know, the everyday ecological system that you're moving about in. That's the way I like to think about it. And so when you think about this house, you're thinking about a house that's closely related to the mind, but that is also, you know, has a lot to do with effects in your environment around you and how they subtly affect you mentally, emotionally, and things like that. But also things that are directly related to, you know, travel, siblings, writing, media, speech, communication, and so forth. I like Jupiter-Neptune here for creative flow states. For example, you know, writers, musicians, anyone that needs to get into some kind of creative flow. I like Jupiter-Neptune in this house for a transmission state of some kind, creatively, artistically, intellectually. I think about things like a new creative podcast idea or, you know, and also like the idea of healing mentally and emotionally. Jupiter Neptune providing faith, renewal, a sense of optimism and hope. And, you know, sometimes, especially for Capricorns who can carry that real weighty Saturnine quality in their mind, being a child of Saturn, this could be something that washes over you and feels like it's softening you a little bit. And that might be really helpful. Also look at some magic around your immediate environment, things happening in the periphery that are sort of magical, looking for those sort of synchronicities and signs that illuminate something, give you some important message or instruction. And also what kinds of things are happening around the topic of siblings. Is a sibling having a child or getting married or, you know, but mostly, you know, fertile, rich and magical energy in that house for Capricorns right now. For water, you know, anytime that there's something positive happening in a water sign, like especially like the seventh and the third, Cancer, Pisces for Capricorn rising, I think it tends to soften and take the edge off of certain dimensions of your life, which is probably going to be helpful. All right, so let's come back over and we're going to put, so many things I'm getting used to navigating with this new program here. Okay, we're going to put Sagittarius on the ascendant, which moves Jupiter Neptune into the fourth. And here you can see right there. There's Jupiter and Neptune. And this is the place of home, family, foundation, roots, mysteries, and the underworld. Not a lot of people know that. We know the associations with home and family in the fourth house. But we forget that ancient astrologers talked about the fourth house in relation to mystery schools, the underworld, in things that are invisible and mysterious, ancestry, also death, the grave, old age, winter. Those are all deep, dark, mysterious things belonging to the underworld that the fourth house represents. So family foundations, roots, also mysteries, the underworld, ancestry. Did you know that Jupiter in the fourth house is often a sign of people who had the gift of prophecy in the ancient world or who had the inclination toward the priesthood? That's interesting. Also a place that was associated with the father, but more broadly speaking with parents. Also our general, you know, anything about our living environment. And this place was said to be supportive, but not externally showy. Supportive, but invisibly supportive. Like those aspects of your character that support you every day that you take for granted. Like I tend to be a patient person compared to a lot of people. Not me, but just let's say that's the way you are. You take it for granted, but it's like, it's a really supportive part of your life. Anything that's like kind of constant and supportive, like the foundation of a house, but that you don't really see would be related to the fourth house as well. So with Jupiter Neptune coming in there for Sag risings, I love the idea of sort of fluid, graceful, fertile energy at the roots. What kinds of blessings, miracles, you know, good energy is flowing into your living environment around home, family. This is the kind of transit that I'm not at all surprised to see, you know, if someone were to get pregnant or to be expanding their family or purchasing a new home or putting a koi pond in their backyard or something like that, you know, some way of anything watery and an expansion of watery themes pertaining to the home and the roots or foundation of the home could involve, you know, so I'm having some plumbing issues in my house, or we're finding that there's, there's the foundation of the house has a crack and it needs to be fixed. So the downside of Jupiter, Neptune in the fourth is often water issues pertaining to your home, right? But the plus side of this is typically going to be about what kinds of fluid, uplifting, helpful resources are pooling into the area of home, family, and so forth. Also, an attunement to spirituality, mysticism, the feeling that there are invisible, you know, angels, gods, energies, being more attuned to that kind of thing would not surprise me at all for Jupiter Neptune in the fourth right now. So that's for my Sag risings out there. Let's go to let's move this forward again. And let's put Jupiter Neptune in the fifth, which means you're a Scorpio rising. Remember, we're going backward through the zodiac right now. So if you're a Scorpio rising, here you go. You can see Scorpio in the first. Then you're seeing Jupiter Neptune. You're seeing Jupiter Neptune in the fifth house. So let's go ahead and put a little note up for you guys in the fifth. Now, the fifth was associated with joy, creativity, children, pregnancy, romance, pleasure, happiness. The happiness in Indian astrology that's related to one's dharma, which means your innate sense of skills, ability, innate sense of what you're called to do or how you're meant to serve, or the things that define you in the way that you're born into the world. So there should be ideally joy and happiness related to doing our dharma, to being who we really are. And this house was also called good fortune, which basically means like, you know, subjectively enjoyable things. And it was called the joy of Venus, the goddess of pleasure. So if you're a Scorpio rising, this is a pregnancy transit, okay? Like I'm not kidding you when I say that since Jupiter entered Pisces last summer, I have had a lot of clients with Scorpio rising getting pregnant. Probably a dozen. If I could make the number up off the top of my head, I'd say like a dozen. This because it's a very fertile placement in the house of pregnancy. So pregnancy, children, if you're a little bit older, or your kids having kids and you're becoming a grandparent. But also this is a place where if you feel like you need to get back in touch with your inner child, the creative, free, spontaneous, playful, joyful side of yourself, we could call it the inner child. This is a wonderful transit for that. Scorpios often are, you know, so driven by the Mars energy. And that's not, there's nothing wrong with that, of course, but, you know, it's nice to have just that double-bodied, you know, the exaltation of Venus, the domicile of Jupiter, and a place of joy and a place of Venus. Like, you know, that can really take the edge off from the spiciness of Scorpio, which is, you know, can help you just chill out a little bit if you're a Scorpio rising, which sometimes, you know, every sign has something like that, where it's like there's going to be some transit to some house that's going to act as a nice like juxtaposition to your natural disposition and could help you, you know, pick up something that's not as easy for you. Anyway, for Scorpios, this would be a place that says, hey, take the intensity down a notch and experience grace, spontaneous play, creativity, romance, the sublime, the romantic and imaginative dimensions of life, the childlike, and so forth. Now, could this mean in the fifth house that, you know, someone is having a hard time with, you know, alcohol, or someone is, you know, getting overdoing something when it comes to the pleasure drive or instinct, especially when you are a child of Mars? There would be also the potential that you could be like putting the, it's like, oh, here's joy and happiness. Now let me slam on the gas pedal, you know? So you have to be a little bit careful of that. You know, if you look at the sky right now, Mars and Saturn are still sort of hanging out together in an air sign. I don't feel like at the moment the picture looks like one of like overdoing something. Mars, Saturn are pretty controlled. If anything, I think it's the opposite, where letting go and loosening up and seeking out joy and pleasure are more like appropriate here. But Mars is going to enter Pisces in the fifth house, and then, you know, things could get a little sloshier. You know, just watch for that. But it's the main energy here is around joy, is around Venus and Venusian things trying to grow and flourish with a much more graceful, light, sort of sparkly energy compared to the heaviness of your natural planetary disposition as a Scorpio. So, you know, take advantage of that. Enjoy it for now. All right, let's go to the sixth house. So, and this, by the way, will place... here we go. Places Libra on the ascendant. And now Jupiter Neptune is in the sixth house. So I'll just highlight that right here. Now the sixth was, it's a complicated house. It was associated with work, slavery, sacrifice, service, but not like the cushy, like I live to serve. I'm just here to be, you know, service in a wellness center or something like that. You know, we're talking about service on the battlefield of life. We're talking about the surgeon mending a blasted up leg on the battlefield. We're talking about soldiers. We're talking about hard work under the sun. We're talking about slavery in the ancient world. We're talking about accidents and injuries, chronic illness, nurses and caretakers who tend to people who are suffering. You can't whitewash that part out of it. Is there sacrifice and service in this house? Yes, absolutely. But usually in relation to, you know, the frustrations and hardships of life. And so if you're called to serve in that, in a role, you know, it's going to put you in touch with those themes, just so that we don't whitewash the house. The house was called Bad Fortune in the Joy of Mars, but you will find advocates, fighters, athletes, warriors, servants, hard workers, as well as those that sometimes can't settle down and chill out unless they, you know, again, have their foot on the gas pedal. It's a Marsy house. Jupiter Neptune in this house, I like, because it is the exact opposite in some ways. It is a peaceful, healing, redemptive, imaginative, romantic, subtle, timeless sort of vibe. So I like the idea of wounds being mended. For example, I think of someone going to rehab with this transit. This is for Libra risings, but I also think of romantic or sexual healing. I think of fears being pacified. I think of the potential for interpersonal conflicts to be pacified. I think about causes that, you know, you feel like serving, but they don't bring you into war as much as they generate within you the spirit of compassion. These kinds of energies are really on the rise in Libran's charts right now. And I think this is a really nice, it's, you know, it's, first of all, it doesn't surprise me that Librans, you know, would naturally, by the scheme of ancient astrology, have Pisces the exaltation of Venus in that sixth place, because the Libran way of dealing with those things is going to naturally incline itself more toward Venus. So it just kind of makes sense. But I like this because I feel like this transit is like, if there's anything Shakespearean going on, then this is probably a little bit more of a happy ending than a tragic one with Jupiter and Neptune right now. If there's any kind of drama or stress or tension, you see this energy and you think of something supportive coming in. Okay, so that is the sixth house, Jupiter, Neptune. Now, let us go forward again. And now we're going to put Virgo on the ascendant, which means Jupiter and Neptune are going to be in the seventh house. Let's go ahead and highlight it here first. So you can see there's Jupiter, Neptune in the seventh. This is for Virgo rising. This is the place, this was the setting place where the planet set in the west, called Kama by Indian astrologers, which means pleasure. It is associated with the end of the day. You know, when the sun sets, what are you doing? Are most people, unless you work a graveyard shift, are coming home to enjoy leisurely the evening hours. You're going to watch your Netflix series. You're going to go out for dinner. Maybe you go to a concert. You're going to make love. You know, so this is a place of marriage, sex, relationships, comma, and pleasure, leisure, the end of toil and work, completion. Also a place associated with death as planets set here. But more broadly speaking, a place where things conclude or resolve themselves. It was called the setting place. Well, if there ever is a sign for romance, love, sort of magical, mystical, sexual connections, or, you know, something like mystical and spiritual, but romantic, or, you know, relationships and the connection between love and spirituality, this would be the transit. I like that there's an exalted Venus there right now as well. If you're a Virgo rising, you know, you're a child of Mercury. Mercury is naturally in its fall in Pisces in the seventh house. So this is a place that, you know, might call you to let go a little bit, especially on the mental level. Let go of control, let go of analysis, let go of the critical judging faculty of the mind, all of which is a great skill and asset for Virgo rising. But this transit is almost like, just chill, you know, and invite something fluid, invite something subtle and romantic, something that is transrational or even irrational at times. So Jupiter Neptune in the seventh also speaks to the unexpected, uplifting, redeeming quality and love and sexuality. Sexual healing comes to mind. Concluding something in a graceful, beautiful way, celebration of things like marriage, completion of a phase of life of some kind that's ending with some feeling of accomplishment. So I like the feeling of resolution in the seventh, and also this kind of timeless romantic energy that's there for Virgos right now. I'd be curious to hear stories from Virgos about the way that shows up. All right, let's go ahead and put Leo on the ascendant, which brings us to Jupiter and Neptune in the eighth house. And here you can see their conjunction there. So if you're Leo rising, this place is Jupiter and Neptune in the eighth, a place that was associated with debts and obligations to other people, but also benefits from other people and things that other people may owe us. More broadly speaking, this house entangles us with others for better or worse. Their assets, their resources, and how that mixes and mingles with our own. This is also a place that is associated with penalties that come in the future, or that in time they're like taxes or penalties that we have to pay karmically, the ultimate one being death. But most of the time, this house is not associated with literal death as much as it is fear and anxiety about the future or about future things that await us that we're afraid of. And so Jupiter Neptune in this house for Leo risings, to me, it could be about overcoming fears, overcoming anxiety, feeling lifted up from within a time of that's been taxing, or that's a period where things have been weighing on your mind. And now there's a feeling of, you know, it's been redeeming. The process has been worth it somehow. Or Jupiter Neptune in that house, you think about something very beneficial coming in through other people. Now, the obvious low hanging fruit is like an inheritance. But there could be something else. What kinds of resources come in from other people? A referral, someone in your field or industry who knows more than you do, who becomes a mentor. Anything that could be beneficial, that is blessed or given to you emotionally, psychically, materially coming from others this month would not surprise me. And also the feeling of resolving old debts, dissolving old obligations, completing or fulfilling obligations and karmic contracts, reaching a state of completion. Ah, that has been resolved. Or being very careful about things that are sparkly and glittery and that promise to give you something big and really enticing, but could actually entangle you. You might want to be a little bit careful about that. It may or may not be the time. In other words, to, for example, take out a big loan. It depends on what you're getting out of it. And, you know, if it's something you'll get a lot of use out of, or that it's really worth it or something like that. Okay, let's go ahead and we're going to move the Jupiter-Neptune conjunction into the ninth house. Now, this is for Cancer risings. So if you are a Cancer rising, whoa, that is a massive circle. I don't know how that got so big. Let's try this. It was like a huge circle. There we go. That's better. Okay, there's Jupiter-Neptune in the ninth house if you are a Cancer rising. Now, the ninth house was called God, and it was also called the joy of the sun, a place associated with oracles, the gods, the signs and omens that the gods give, with mysticism, religion, and spirituality, with academics, the law, long journeys, and foreign countries. If you're traveling, I imagine this would be a very fruitful and beneficial time during which to travel, that it would probably be a time of expansion spiritually and intellectually. Romantically, you could meet someone traveling with this kind of transit. You could fall in love with a different country and decide to move there. This could be the compulsion to return to school, the finding of a mentor or teacher, the, you know, enrolling in a yoga teacher training program, or, you know, falling in love with some kind of spiritual practice. But it's very redeeming and uplifting for the mind and spirit in this house right now, and also promises to expand your horizons, I believe, through travel potentially. So I really like this transit for Cancer risings. It's very emotionally uplifting. With Venus there, also, I wonder about the feminine, the goddess playing a role somehow in this combination, say in the next month ahead, especially toward the end of April. All right. So there's a few things that I wanted to say about that house in particular. Let's go ahead and move Jupiter and Neptune into the 10th. This is for Gemini risings. So if you're a Gemini rising, this is falling into your career house. And I don't know, to me, this is maybe one of the most exciting. Let's just add a little banner here. The 10th house was called Praxis, which means like practice. Action. What do you do every day? And it's usually action that is moving toward the need for recognition or honor or reputation or mastery. It is a place that is reflective of our ambitions. Sometimes people will say, oh, you know, who cares what other people think about you? Just do your own thing. You know, but inevitably, as you start doing your own thing and you still are hoping that there will be some validation that you can make a living or that you can do something useful with your gifts or service, there will always still be a component of life that seeks out the useful interaction with other people or the validation from other people of doing whatever you do, no matter how unique and or conformist it might be. So this house for Gemini risings has a lot to do with where and who you're seeking validation from, as well as the potential for growth and kind of fertile, abundant energies around career, vocation, but also upward movement within those areas of life. And also, again, I think questions about fame and success and what status means to you and what delusions or illusions we might have about status and what the difference is between a healthy seeking of validation or success from an unhealthy one. The reason I say all of that is because Jupiter Neptune in the 10th is very much for Gemini risings is very much about your public role in the world. So some questions about what constitutes success, validation, reputation, honor, advancement, successful pursuit of your ambitions. While this energy is very supportive, I think it could call into mind some value distinctions there as well. Okay. So that's Gemini rising. Let's go ahead and move this again, and we'll put it into the 11th house. Now, as soon as we put it into the 11th, Jupiter and Neptune are conjoined in Pisces right there. This is for Taurus rising. So for Taurus rising, we're talking now about the place that was associated with allies, friends, colleagues, hopes and wishes, future developments, groups called good spirit and the joy of Jupiter. First of all, any kind of collaborative effort with friends, colleagues, allies, you'll find probably supportive energy here. There's a little bit of like, is this too good to be true? Or am I biting off more than I could chew? Or, you know, the exalted Venus in that house, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. had, you know, think of his famous speech, the I Have a Dream speech. What was it actually called? I Have a Dream, or was it called something else? But regardless, there's an exalted Venus with Jupiter and Neptune. So what kinds of wishes, hopes, ambitions, what kind of growth and future potential? This is a place that was, because it's the house that rises up to the top of the chart next, it's moving in that direction. In any chart, the 11th is moving toward the 10th, sort of symbolically. So this house has to do with things that are growing, that in time will sort of flourish and come to fruition and are usually associated with our ambitions and dreams, as well as those people or groups or friends or allies that are somehow supportive in developing and growing that success or those dreams. So if you're a Taurus rising, I love the look of this for any kind of future collaborative wishing and ambitions that are you're seeding right now and that in time are going to keep growing. For example, in my own life, I'm a Taurus rising, and we're in the process of, with a small group of friends, developing a retreat center, it's not like anything massive, but developing a retreat center in India, so that eventually we can bring, you know, moderately to small to moderately sized groups to India on pilgrimage. So that's a very, you know, like, and that's the sale of that land that we are buying with some Indian friends of ours is, you know, happening this week. And then we're in the process of starting to develop the plans for the buildings that will be used for a retreat center. So like, that's such a Jupiter Neptune manifestation. But it's going to take a while. It's like whatever you're dreaming or scheming, you know, in the 11th house is going to take a while to rise to the top. The cream will eventually rise to the top. But it's a very fertile transit, and it's a good one for finding friends and allies and people who, like, well-wishers, admirers, supporters. I'll never forget when Neptune first entered my 11th house, like when Neptune first ingressed into that house, I was writing for a blog called Reality Sandwich, and I got someone, you know, had wanted to meet with me. They said, you know, they're an actor living in New York City, and they wanted to meet with me, and they enjoyed my writing, and they had had some experiences with ayahuasca like I had. And they just like said, do you want to get out to lunch and talk sometime? And I thought, oh, cool, an actor. And I didn't know this person's name, and I didn't even own a TV at the time. Anyway, so I went out to lunch and like got to know this person. And it turns out, I'm not going to say who they were, I'm not going to like name drop here, but it turns out that they were like, you know, I didn't know who they were. But then once I met them, I realized, oh, like this person's like on like several, you know, like they've been in like big TV shows and movies and stuff like that. I was like, so, you know, you just never know with Jupiter Neptune conjunction in the 11th, who or what kind of connections you're going to make. That person ended up, by the way, being like an early, like when I was just starting Nightlight Astrology, and it was a donation based thing that I was doing, they ended up giving me a generous donation that helped me make a transition from collecting unemployment to starting my full-time job as an astrologer. So if you just, you just never know what kind of miraculous synchronistic resources are going to pop up with a Jupiter Neptune transit in the 11th. If you are a Taurus rising, it's a wonderful place to have it. Actually, you know, it's not so dissimilar from Jupiter Neptune in the 8th, where resources can kind of magically appear in your life, or Jupiter Neptune in the 5th, the place of good fortune, where sort of there's a little bit more of an emphasis on like finding pleasure and happiness in that place, but also like just sort of fortunate synchronistic things tend to pop up with Jupiter in the 5th, 8th, and 11th in particular. The 2nd could be like that too. All of the succedent houses had this like almost like a time signature behind them, where in time they tend to develop. So Jupiter in those houses would start something that then develops into something more fortunate, like a little bit down the road. Anyway, I'm rambling now. So let's go ahead to our last one, which is going to be Aries rising. And that takes Jupiter and Neptune into the 12th. Now, the 12th is like a very interesting place for Jupiter and Neptune if you're in Aries rising. So here it is right here. If you're in Aries rising, you got this in the 12th place. It was associated with sickness and ruin and self-destruction and sort of the dark night of the soul, with wandering, isolation and solitude, obscurity and alienation. It was called evil spirit and the joy of Saturn. Sounds really heavy, right? I always think, and you guys have probably heard me say this before, but I always think of Gandalf saying that, you know, not everybody who wanders is lost. Not all who wander are lost. I think that's how he said it. And there is something about the wandering, the sort of your ship is drifting in the fog and you can no longer see the stars. There's a scene in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, one of my favorite books of all time. There's a scene in that book where the ship is moving through darkness and they all start to see the manifestation of their fears and nightmares. So whatever they're afraid of and whatever tends to come up as bad dreams, they start seeing in the dark. And interestingly, they have to move through this place en route to the eastern horizon, the place of Aslan, which is like the godhead figure that also is represented by the sun. And The Voyage of the Dawn Treader is the book that C.S. Lewis wrote with infusing the alchemical, medieval, and astrological symbolism of the sun into. So there's tons of solar symbolism in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And one of them is you can't get to the light without moving through the fear and the darkness and the obscurity and the feeling of, does anyone even see me or not? Am I taking myself apart? Am I ruining myself? Am I, this is such a soulful house. Saturn is like that too. Saturn will take us through spaces of alienation, but only because we have to lose ourselves from time to time, don't we? I mean, isn't that part of it? So Jupiter Neptune to me is really interesting because here's this very redeeming, uplifting energy within a house that can be so dark. I would liken this to the moment where, you know, the sun starts breaking through the darkness in that story that I was just talking about. They start coming through the land of nightmares and fears and darkness on the boat that they're moving, the Dawn Treader, into this space of light. And in the water that they come out to, by the way, eventually there's like millions of lilies floating through the water, and there's like a flowery perfume coming off the water. And I just get that Jupiter Neptune feeling of like, what is breaking up the darkness right now and starting to, it's like a balm or, you know, a salve or something that's starting to anoint you and bless you within a darker period, perhaps. So anyway, those are some of the things that come to my mind for Jupiter Neptune in the 12th. The only other thing I would think of in the 12th is, you know, like I joke around sometimes and I say, you know, be careful not to join a comet club, you know, like a comet cult or whatever. You know, just, I would say Jupiter Neptune in the 12th could be like drinking the Kool-Aid, and something that could look very glamorous and uplifting, like someone that might actually scam you or, you know, something like that. I'd be a little bit careful of that. But otherwise, I think mostly of redeeming, uplifting energies from within a little bit of a darker space or a heavier space. Okay, so we've gotten through it all. And I am going to just stop sharing my screen here. And I'd love to see, you know, I'm just going to flip over and see what you guys are saying in the comments section. Yay, I actually caught the live stream. I appreciate your videos. I'd love a reading. Have a lot going on for the last 2 years, but your wait list is a year. Yeah, you know, I could do more readings in a day than I do, but my quality really goes down when I do more than a certain amount of astrology readings in a day. So my wait list has grown because there's only so many readings I can do in a day where it's like, then I'm just I'm starting to get really exhausted. And then the quality of my readings for the people on Thursday and Friday are just like terrible, you know? So my wait list, I'm really glad to be busy. Like, I feel very blessed to have a busy practice. So I'm really sorry to have to make people wait. One thing that's good is that we're using some of those Kickstarter funds to slowly build out. By 2023, we will be building out some kind of tiered services where we have some donation services available from some of my best alumni, so that there'll be, you know, people who like sort of want to have a reading from people who have studied in my like style and approach, I guess, people that I think are really good, that you could get a reading and it'd be affordable and the wait time's not as long. So hopefully we'll have stuff like that available, but thanks for letting me know. Let's see here. I'm just popping up some comments as they're coming in. Yeah, that's, I work a lot, and that part of that's, I think, you know, I have a Saturn Jupiter conjunction in the sixth. So it's actually, I think some of my work in this lifetime is to, you know, be careful about that, but I'm getting better at it as I get older. Like that's why my wait time went from like 3 months or 4 months to a year, because I started cutting back because I was getting burnt out. Anyway, well, let's see. Thank you guys so much for being here today. What I'm going to do next is I am going to do some live readings. I think what I would really like is if you would like me to take a look at Jupiter Neptune's placement in your chart, especially if it's conjoining some planets, or you are having trouble understanding its meaning, feel free to pop your time, date, and location of birth into the chat box. I can't get to everyone. I can only do a few examples, but I'd be glad to take a look at some of some birth charts here. In fact, I see one right there from, let's see, Cassandra. I just see Cassandra there. So Cassandra is sharing her data. Thank you, Cassandra. Excuse me. So I'm going to pull up your chart right now. Give me just a second. Oh, almost your birthday. And as a Hellenistic astrologer, I work with whole sign houses, and I take out the outer planets when I'm first considering a chart. So that's what I'm going to be doing for you right now, Cassandra. But let me go ahead and put your chart up on the screen, and I'll give you guys just some basic, maybe some basic impressions of what Jupiter Neptune looks like in your chart based on, you know, the unique configurations of your chart. So Cassandra, Cancer rising, Taurus sun, I have to say that, you know, that's like that temperament, that constitution. I have a few friends in my life that have Cancer rising and Taurus sun, and including my best friend, my wife. So, as a Cancer sun and Taurus rising, I always seem to get along with Cancer rising, Taurus suns. Here is the position of Jupiter and Neptune. I'm not going to pull up a bi-wheel. I'm just going to sort of point it out. And what I always do, and this is like a little tip, right? If you want a quick way of learning to read transits, plug it in visually into the chart by degree, and then look and see, is it conjoining anything? Is it opposing anything? Is it squaring anything closely? So this is happening at about 23 Pisces. We've got an opposition pretty closely to Saturn, a little bit more broadly to Venus, nothing in Sag and nothing in Pisces. And this is located in the ninth house. So what comes to my mind immediately for you, Cassandra, is, look, you've got Jupiter and Neptune opposing your natal Saturn. Let's keep it there because Venus is a little far off. Across the ninth and the third house, I feel like Saturn in the third, the gift of Saturn in the third is going to be, for example, people who can learn or develop a certain kind of craftsmanship, specific craft-oriented skills and abilities. My wife has Saturn in the third in Virgo, and she's an herbalist, for example. So when you think about Saturn in Virgo in the third, you're thinking about that careful, crafty, thoughtful, meticulous, earthy Virgoan mind. And that's going to be like a boon and an asset to you throughout your life. You've got Jupiter there as well. So we're talking about the gifts of your mind and whatever path they've put you on in life. When you think about Jupiter and Neptune opposing that Saturn, I wonder about softening the mind. Saturn in Virgo in the third could, for example, give you a certain edge and a kind of meticulous, careful, analytical quality. But could there be ways in which, you worry or you have a hard time letting go, or you tend to hold things too tight, or even trouble with digestion, or needing to have a real tight control over the way that things happen? So you see a lot of like mental control with Saturn and Virgo in the third house. Jupiter, Neptune in the ninth, is there something that's encouraging you to be more fluid, graceful, open? Is there more of a flow state being encouraged here? Are there teachings or subjects or topics that are coming into your life that are encouraging some kind of opening of mind and body? Even with Saturn in the third, for example, you'll sometimes see that Saturn in Virgo in the third, I've seen in young women who sometimes develop like an eating disorder because there's a way of needing to have like really tight control over everything. And I'm not saying that's you or anything like that, but just, this kind of transit comes along and says, hey, how about learning control through something like yoga, where there's grace, there's fluidity. And so there's something to sort of bring moisture to the potential for dryness and coldness that Saturn in Virgo might have at times. So I would wonder about that as, not just something that's coming through now, but maybe in the past few years as Neptune has opposed Saturn already like a few times. So I wonder about the continuation of those themes right now. That's the first and most important thing that come to my mind. you've had, I think it's also fair to say that with eclipses, like the April 30th eclipse happening in your 11th house, makes me wonder about new streams of revenue, new business ideas, new groups of people or allies or collaborations or something like that, professional networks growing in your life. April 30th, new moon, solar eclipse in the house of your sun, the 11th. Sun rules your second house of business and money. So I wonder about things like that growing from like April 30th onward for you as well. Those are just some quick hits. So I hope that's helpful. All right. So thank you, Cassandra, for sharing your chart with us. And let's go ahead and I'm going to stop sharing there. so many to choose from. My God, I feel really, it's always like I feel bad and asking for it and then only being able to choose a few. Let's go with Loretta. Hi, Loretta. I am going to put your chart up on the screen here. Rhetorical question for you guys while I'm doing this, actually it's a serious question. Since I've been doing astrology for 12 years, I'd say 95% of my clients have either been women or gay men, any non like heteronormative sexual gender expression, women and gay men. I have probably had, if I've done 14,000 charts at this point, I'd say like probably somewhere between 100 and 200 of those have been men. I would really like, as a guy who does this, I know I like it and I, so it's hard for me to like think, well, why wouldn't men like this as much? And I've heard a lot of people give their opinions and ideas and thoughts about it. I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. And as kindly as possible, please. But would love to hear your thoughts. Maybe I'll flash a few of your creative insights about that on the screen in a little bit here. As I'm just reflecting, is like every single name coming through the chat box right now is a woman. So I've been like, I remember here just as an anecdote while I'm getting Loretta's chart up. I remember as a kid that the reason I would go to the doctor's office to get my allergy shot. Huku, Hawaii. So yeah, no way, I got the date totally wrong. November 21st, 1969, 8:55. So I'd go to the doctor's office to get my allergy shot, and when I would go there, there would be like Teen Magazine, and it have personality tests, and it would have your horoscope, and I'd have to sit there often for like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and as a kid, that's a long time. And as long as there were no men looking at me, I would pick it up so I could read my horoscope, because I was so enamored by what is astrology, as a kid. And this, I didn't actually get into astrology for a lot later, but I wonder if that's part of it. It's like, horoscopes. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing horoscopes put into like Sports Illustrated or something that might have been sitting on the same table that like I wouldn't fear some other guy looking at me and being like, "Oh, why are you reading something girly?" You know what I mean? I don't know if that's like part of it or not. It's also silly, but all right, let's see here. Okay, so here's Loretta's chart, and I'm going to put it on the screen, and then I'll share what you guys think about that. I'm going to put some of your answers up on the screen here. All right. So we have November 21st, 1969 at 8:55 a.m. in Kahuku, Hawaii. All right. Okay, so there we go. Now I'm going to take a look at Loretta's chart here. So the conjunction of Neptune and Jupiter is happening in your fourth house. So right down here. Oops. Right down here. There we go. And let's see if I can get an arrow in here. There we go. So one, here's the thing that comes to my mind right away. Sometimes again, you look for conjunctions. There's nothing it's conjoining. It's at 23 degrees, a little broadly off from the North Node. Nothing it's opposing in Virgo. Nothing it's squaring planet-wise in Gemini or Sag. Those are the first things that I look for. Then maybe trines and sextiles. But actually, in this case, at almost 24 degrees, the Neptune Jupiter conjunction is squaring your ascendant and descendant from the fourth house. So anytime you get a square to the ascendant and descendant, to me, it's like it's kind of a crossroads moment. So Loretta, when I'm looking at your chart, I'm thinking, okay, something happening that has its maybe its roots in the past, that has some peripheral or more immediate direct connection to home, family, parents, ancestry, heritage, your living environment, maybe one of your parents and their karma and its effect on you, something like that is coming up, and it's right at the heart of a decision, a choice, a crossroads, a really important moment of choice, or some turning point relative to the ascendant descendant. So identity, who am I, my own body, my own mind, my own agency, my own choices, honoring what feels true about who I am as a person, versus, maybe your relationships, intimacy, love, other people, choices surrounding sexuality and love and romance. So, Neptune Jupiter in this place, while it's focusing on topics of home, family, ancestry, the past, living environment, it also seems to be pointing right at a turning point of some kind relative to self and other, to identity and body and agency and the compromises that we make when we love people or those that we shouldn't make in relationships. So that's the, to me, that's the crux of the matter right there. That's what I would be, if we had a session, I'd be like, let's talk about what's going on there, because that seems to be where it's coming through. And one thing that I would also imagine would be, what does peace and joy and happiness look like in your everyday environment? What kinds of changes need to be made for the sake of a more hospitable or safe or beautiful or uplifting living environment or roots or your foundation? It's, seeking Jupiter Neptune at the roots, and it's saying, in order to do so, in order to bring in this graceful, supportive, healing quality, it's going to push right on those, that dynamic tension between self and other. So that's what I'm seeing right now. I think it's a very supportive energy. I don't think it's going to be like super harsh, but it'll force you to reflect on things and changes that might need to be made in those areas, I would assume. Okay, so that's what I've got for Loretta. Thank you so much. That was a fun one to look at. Okay, I'm going to, by the way, I love this one. I just lost a piece of my tooth after having a dream about it, having weird head issues, Aries rising. That's interesting. Yeah, especially since it's going to be in your 12th house. This comment, if Jupiter and Neptune crashed, we would all be dead already. So I'm going to go back and see if anybody has said anything about why they think. This is a nice comment. Perhaps something related to mysticism being a sensibility mostly related to females and yin. Or let's just call it more broadly speaking, yin, because I think, but yeah, I get what you're saying. Science being fact-based area appealing more to males as the Renaissance brought forwardness, yang, ? Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I feel like I've had sort of similar thoughts at times. And Edgar says, well, there's a gentleman in the mix. And it's like, just funny. I've gone to so many astrology conferences. I've been hosted at different groups and meetups. And I swear there's always like one man in the audience. Well, Teen Magazine was probably more female oriented, not necessarily the astro part. But more like the pics of the Backstreet Boys. Well, yeah, I guess so. But you know, I mean, that's exactly right. That's what I was getting at, though, is it's like, well, you know, you didn't see anything that was like more traditionally masculine featuring horoscopes. But I think it's just such a universal thing that people would be interested in. Anyway. Closeted male astrology lovers, the time is now. May the power of the gods compel you to be free. That's great. I love that. I love that. That's brilliant. As a society, we've made seeking assistance for vulnerable issues a point of contention for men. Maybe there is a hesitation because they believe they're more likely to be chastised or ridiculed. That's really nice. I remember things that I was told by coaches growing up on sports teams I played on, almost like never apologize, don't show your weakness, like this kind of mentality, not exactly that, but something like that. So I think that's probably right. Anyway, these are some really interesting comments. Here's an interesting one. It seems that Hellenistic astrology appeals to men more than modern because it appears, at least superficially, to be more mathematical, scientific versus psychological and emotionally based. That's probably true. I think I would totally agree with that. I think I was attracted to it because I felt like, first of all, I just wanted to know, be well-rounded and understand the history of astrology, but I felt like the psychological, I mastered it, but like I knew my way around that conversation in the modern astrological world. And then all of a sudden I was hearing people talk about how the predictive element of astrology was so strong. And I was someone who felt like the right use of prediction alongside of an archetypal and sort of subjective psychological approach would be a really meaningful synthesis. And I was really attracted to that. And that's why I went into it. But, I think you're right that there's like a lot more men interested in Hellenistic, probably because it's like, I don't know, it has that like weighty Saturnine gravitas to it or something. But I have like most of my classes, thousands of people that have been through my classes, they're all women, and they all seem, I mean, just my experience is that my students seem to, the women in my program seem to really love Hellenistic astrology. So I don't think it's at all, I think Hellenistic astrology is really rich and emotionally satisfying. It speaks to the soul just as much as modern if you approach it in the right way, which hopefully I present in my classes. But anyway, Whammy Whammy says, I remember before all I would see would be little astrology blips in the newspaper that didn't seem true. A numerology book seemed dumb. Some actually are, but then you're led to better. That's a good comment. I like that. Yeah, there's always, you know, you got to sort through and find the gems out there, but there's lots of them, you know. Someone says, Silent Murmur says, I wonder if men are less interested in astrology symbolism because they view it as superstitious rather than seasonal allegories with angular relationships. Interesting. That's an interesting comment too. Yeah. Also, astrology has a bad rap. Shallow sun sign readings, most men think it's only for cat ladies. Is that, I don't know if that's true, but I get what you're saying though. That, yeah, like, oh, it's irrational, it's superstitious, it's just sun sign stuff. I mean, I'll admit that I used to think that until I had someone, an astrologer, talk to, you know, like tell me about it. And I started going like, oh, there's something to this. That's really interesting. Whammy Whammy also says, I think it's because there seems to have to be a belief in it for it to start working, kind of like being on a spiritual path starts activating synchronicities. Yeah, there is some pathway of like belief or something like that. I like here what Kelly says. As a professional psychic, I've been impressed with the number of straight men that seek out a reading more than I anticipated. Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that, because I, you know, and it's also like, you know, we're prisoner of the demographic we serve too, in a sense. Like I'm just serving the type of people that for whatever reason find my work appealing. And like, you know, if that's women or if that's squirrels, like I, you know, whoever, I'm just, if God puts this in my heart, then I just want to share it. And I hopefully whoever finds it valuable, you know, that's not that women and squirrels are the same. Oh, sorry guys. I don't know. I'm getting into the weeds, just so that we represent here. Bodhi Mumba says, I am a male with interest in astrology. Thank you. But Sarah says, my spouse thinks this is just a bunch of hocus pocus. That's one of the really, I'm going to come back to readings here in a second, guys. That's one of the really, the parts that I really don't like, is that there'll be people like contact me for a couple's reading, and I get all excited, and then they're like, it'll just be me. My spouse thinks this is crap, but they've given me their birth chart. I'm always like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer. Okay. The truth about it, Catherine, we're going to do your chart next. I'm just going to call, oh no, it's Catherine. I was going to say, we're going to call you the truth about it. Okay. So January 3rd, 1963 at 9:13 a.m. Monte, California. Oops. Is that a place? It's not showing up on my... Okay, no, I think I've got it. El Monte. Okay, there we go. I have Aquarius rising and Aries moon, so I think this is correct. Oops, let's put it over here. And let's go ahead and share it. Okay. So we're going to plug, oh, look at this. It's a Jupiter return year for you. So Jupiter, Neptune are in your second house right now. And again, for me, I always start off with the same little exercise. I start by saying, what's happening? Is there a conjunction? No conjunction at 23 Pisces. Is there an, oops. Let's try this again. Sorry. I'm still getting used to these tools. All right. Is there a conjunction? Nothing conjoining. Is there an opposition? Nothing opposing. Is there a square to Sag? No. Is there a square to Gemini? No. So hard aspects are out to the traditional seven. And I always look at that first. Then what I'm going to do is say, okay, well, you know, are there any other secondary factors like a co-presence? Co-presence would mean that the eclipse or the conjunction is happening at the same time in a house where there's another planet. So yeah, Jupiter's co-present, which means you're in a Jupiter return season. And that's going to be probably the thing to anchor the interpretation in terms of the natal karmic context. So that's good. It's a Jupiter year for you. You were born during a daytime chart, which puts Jupiter insect well dignified in a house that will tend to confer blessings upon you. Sometimes those blessings in a succedent house are going to come, it's going to take a while. They're going to be more gestational, slow moving, slow to develop, especially in a feminine sign. Ancient astrologers tended to believe that feminine signs developed and gave what they promised a little bit more slowly, like the way that a child takes 9 months to gestate in the womb, that there's more of a gestation. We're taking that and we're putting it in the second house, which is already sort of a place that in time bears its fruit. So this may be a little bit more slow moving. And because of that, you might go, oh, look, I'm in a Jupiter-Neptune transit in the second house and a Jupiter return and nothing big is happening. Well, I would give it a little bit of time. Jupiter is going to make a trine to Venus in your 10th house toward the end of Venus's, Jupiter's time. Like it'll be probably like late April, early May, like maybe like the first week of May. So it's going to trine that Venus. That looks really pretty good. It'll come back toward, let's see, the end of October. It retrogrades back into Pisces and will come back into the trine with Venus. And then again, like just knowing it's a Jupiter return year, assets, blessings, resources coming to you, developments around money, development of skills and acquisition of things, developing things that you hope for, purchases that you're making, things that you're maybe selling like land or property. I see those things growing, maybe finances growing, a promotion at work with the trine to Venus in the 10th. Stuff like that. So it's a very supportive transit for you. But again, I would give it time and be very patient with it because its significations are going to come in waves and be slower to develop. Sometimes you'll have things that pop and then, you know, there'll be like gestational periods where it takes a while for things to kind of coalesce and move forward. But I like this in terms of, you know, development or acquisition of new things, new skills, new resources, new abilities, maybe new purchases, a change around money and finances, tending toward growth and fertility as the underlying theme. Remember that this is also happening for you during your second Saturn return. So I also wonder about this theme of mastery. there's a gravitas to Saturn in the first house anyway, but then this is like the rite of passage that comes at the end of the adult phase and the entrance into like your phase as an elder. You're moving into the phase of life where you're becoming a mentor to other people, or you're reaching the pinnacle of your abilities, or you're peaking in some skill that you have, or you're also maybe defining for yourself what's important and what's not, what you can and can't do. A lot of what is so helpful about a Saturn return is it defines us and grants us a sense of stability and security in ourselves psychically by helping us very clearly and wholeheartedly say no to things. I see what I am not. I see what I don't want. I define those things and it grants me some sense of stability. So I wonder about that as like a concurrent theme. At the same time, and I'm going to finish after this one because I'm starting to lose my voice. That's what you do, you know, create content, do readings, blah, blah, blah. Then my voice is shot after a while. I never would have known at the start of my career as an astrologer that 10, 12 years later, one of the biggest things for me would be about how to protect my throat and my voice every day. It makes sense as a Taurus rising that that would be a thing for me. But like that's a huge part of my everyday like maintenance as an astrologer now is like dealing with my throat, my voice. And I can always tell that I'm like straining it. And, it's hard because I can't hide it from people either, you know? Okay. So one thing that comes to my mind, Catherine, is that as this Jupiter-Neptune conjunction comes through, Saturn is also opposing Mars in your seventh house. And that could lead to like whatever's growing around money, resources, assets. I also wonder if it's happening while you are moving through some period of like a challenge in relationships. You know, Saturn in the first, opposite Mars in the seventh. Could you be going through a divorce and splitting up assets? I mean, God forbid. I'm not trying to say that's going to happen out of the blue if you're in a happy relationship. But could you be going through a period where you're looking very carefully at values and assets and resources and the development of those things relative to some polarization happening between yourself and someone else or something else, defining who you are in contrast to the demands, obligations, or force or pressure of someone else or something else strikes me as a concurrent theme right now in your chart, alongside of the Jupiter-Neptune transit. So that's what I would see there. Okay, well, I think I am out of steam for readings. So what I'm going to do is just share a few more comments that you guys have left that I think are really interesting. First of all, you are welcome. I'm so happy to be doing this. And I'm glad that I have a new software program that's allowing me to have like a little bit more production value and to share like comments on the screen and give you like cues so that you don't have to take notes if you're a more visual person. I just feel like my vacation helped me level up in so many ways, guys. Oh, who would have thought that just turning everything off for 2 weeks and sitting around and spending time with family and being by sunshine and water and prayer would just totally reinvigorate me, but that's exactly what it's done. The feminine energy in astrology reminds me of your class on Sunday when we talked about the feminine energy in a book you mentioned. Feminine energy is receptive, dark places within to gestate. Tanya, that is a great comment. And I might as well show you guys the book I was referring to because I have decided to read this book myself only because it came, you know, recommended from someone. And I have two girls and I just feel like I got to get an education in some things that I don't understand or that I don't understand as well. So this book that we're talking about the feminine energy, and I have never read it. So I'm pleased if it's like, turns out that some terrorists wrote this book. It's like, I never know these days. So whatever. The book is called Leaving My Father's House by Marion Woodman, A Journey to Conscious Femininity. And I was mentioning a quote from it in my astrology class on Sunday. Because it was a really nice quote. I really liked it. And as someone who feels like I've got two female dogs, two daughters and a wife, and I feel, you know, most of my audience and clientele are women. Of course, I have a good group of male friends, but like there's a significant amount of what I would call yin energy around me. And especially raising two girls the best I can, I decided I'm going to read this book and check it out because, you know, someone that I know and respect is reading it and really liking it. So I'm going to check it out. Anyway, maybe that's interesting to some of you as well. Let's see here. So many good comments. Do I have a book list on Amazon? No, I do not. But Devorah said, I love Marion Woodman. Also read The Pregnant Virgin. That's interesting. And Silent Murmur says, that's funny, Achuta. I worry about recommending foods because I worry about any allergic reaction people might have. Well, books, I guess, can do the same thing. And I don't want to tell people how they should think exactly. Unless you tune into my YouTube channel, then I'll tell you exactly what to think. Just kidding. Oh, gosh. Well, it's been fun hanging out with you guys today. I really appreciate everything that you guys bring, and we'll be doing another live cast tomorrow. I don't know exactly what time yet. Should I just determine with a time right now? Maybe I should. Let me just see here. I think we'll probably do a live cast in the morning. Yeah, I think it will be probably about, I'm guessing we'll do a live cast at about 9 o'clock a.m. or 9:15 or 9:30. I'm going to be sending out an email and we'll post on Instagram. By the way, if you ever want to follow me on Instagram, I post a lot of updates and stuff like that there. You can find me at Nightlight Astrology. So I'll do a live cast tomorrow. And in tomorrow's live cast, we're going to be looking at Jupiter and Neptune from the standpoint of the I Ching and some wisdom that the I Ching has for us about this transit, a few patterns and interesting events historically under previous Jupiter-Neptune dynamics, and a few other little meditative points on Jupiter-Neptune. And then I will be doing some live readings again for you guys tomorrow. So feel free to show up there. If you are interested in having a reading with me, you can check out my readings and courses on my website, nightlightastrology.com. As always, transcripts of my talks can be found within, 24 hours. If you have a story to share, use the hashtag grabbed and tell us a story about Jupiter Neptune. We'd love to hear it. And as always, if you want to help me grow my channel, like and subscribe, share your comments, and click the notification bell for updates. So that is what I have for today, and we will see you again tomorrow morning. Take it easy, everyone.